is where we're at. I think we sort of started to put a wrap on it 2 weeks ago, but I want to kind of hit it again a little bit, talk about a few things. And basically from verses 27 through 30 to the end of the chapter there is where we'll hit. But why don't we go to our Father in prayer before we do so. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for the many spiritual blessings You grant to us through Your Son. We're so thankful for Jesus, for His sacrifice, His resurrection, for everything that He means to us. We're so thankful for the word that You have left us through Him. We just pray that You would be with us in our study this evening, that would strengthen us, that it would help to guide our lives, that we might do Your will at all times within our lives. Just be with us and bless us this evening. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, so in these last verses here of chapter 1, Paul's doing quite a few things here. We're seeing concepts about joy. We're seeing the concept of him discussing life and death, and the concept of being here to continue working on behalf of Christians, and the concept of not being here, being with Christ, because you know that's better. You know, it just is. It's a fact. You know, to be with Christ is going to be better than anything we have here. So it's just a fact. And so he's talking about that. He's talking about to live as Christ, to die as gain. He has a desire to be with Christ, but he has to balance that. And if we think about it, that would be the same for us. We have a desire to be with Christ, obviously, but we have to balance that with our job here. We still are here. We have a work to do. We have things we should be doing. And so we need to balance those concepts. And so Paul, he's touching on that too. He's touching on joy. I listed several things up here on the screen. He's talking about faith. He's talking about having joy in your faith. And remember, we talked about how Paul and these brethren have this, you know, as all brethren, a common faith. And he has this really deep and strong affection for these brethren. And so when you look at these different things, you discover the truth. You should take great joy in the fact that you've discovered the truth. Okay? There is joy in discovering God's truth and that your sins are remitted. I mean, we should be jumping up and down for joy every day because we have God's grace and we have our sins forgiven. Do you think about that every day? And the joy that that should instill in us. Life coming from the Word and the certainty of that, okay? The rock certainty, the assurance that we will be seen through difficulties. Now remember, Paul's had all these difficulties. He's in prison, all these things. He had difficulties in Philippi when he was there. These brethren are having the same types of things going on with them, okay? But there is an assurance that Jesus will see us through these difficulties. Okay, we can count on that. And then he touches on these, you know, these last two are kind of very interesting to me too. You know, the association with the brethren. Okay, he's talking about having joy in your faith. And one of those things that is so joyous is all of us together. Okay, and I think we talked about that 2 weeks ago, that we are all together, and as a group, we should have great joy with each other. It should be joyous when we get together, here or otherwise, right? And if you do all of this, and we follow Christ, and we do as He asks us to do, from a certain standpoint, it's an uncomplicated life, okay? Yes, we have lots of complications in our lives. There are things going on in our lives. And they can get pretty complicated. But when you boil down in Christ, you can live a fairly uncomplicated life. Just follow what Christ wants you to do. I mean, if you think about that, if you're doing what Christ wants you to do, by and large, typically, you're not going to end up in jail for drugs, right? You know, if you follow Christ, you're not going to have, you know, children out of wedlock. If you're following Christ, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that. You know, it It uncomplicates your life if you follow Christ. I mean, you think of all kinds of things to toss into that bucket as an example. You can lead a very uncomplicated life. So it's kind of interesting, you know, in so many words, Paul is pointing out all these different kinds of things that happen for you. And we should take great joy in that. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. So, he's talking about joy, but he's also mentioning a whole bunch of other things in here. The different trials, the persecutions, the things they're going through, you know, there's all kinds of adversaries out there that are going against them. You know, there's all kinds of things that are going on. But Paul is exhorting them to a holy life. Okay? He's trying to comfort them too. It's like, look, I've made it through. You can too. Okay? So he's exhorting them to live holy, and he's trying to comfort them in their problems and in their struggles and in their, you know, things. And he wants them to walk worthy of their calling, okay? So we need to walk in a worthy manner. We need to, you know, fulfill what Christ wants of us. We need to, as he has asked us to be. I think there's... not the wrong element of, but the correct element of pride. You see that? If you're going to walk worthy of your calling, you need to take pride in Christ. Not in yourself, not in your own accomplishments, not the negative pride, not the bad pride, not the problem pride that we're told not to be a part of. But from a certain standpoint, and don't take me wrong, but we should have what we were talking about earlier, boldness, confidence, pride in Christ, in what he has done for me personally, right? And if I do that, and if I understand that, and if I believe that, and I hang on to that, that's going to help me walk correctly, right? Walk worthy of what he has called me to be. These guys were under persecution. He says, hang in there. You know, Paul suffered. When he was in Philippi, suffered a lot. And they knew that. And they're facing some of the same things. You know, so hang in there. You can make it through. I think I had, before I forget, yeah. Okay. They're going to have support. They're going to have people that are going to help them. They're going to have, they're going to suffer the same things Paul did. So, you know, it's okay, you know. And to take to heart the fact that you're suffering, you're going through these troubles, you're going through these trials, tribulations, problems in your life, not because you're an evil person, okay, but because you're following Christ. That's his message to them. You're following Christ, and all this stuff is being leveled against you. Okay, but you're not a bad person. You're following Christ. So take heart, take strength, take courage, hang in there, because you are following Christ. It will be to your benefit. Okay? And I think we talked about this 2 weeks ago too a little bit. Consistency, cooperation, and confidence. He's talking about unity. All right? He's talking about unified, being unified, having a common faith, walk worthy of the calling. We're all in this together. We need to be consistent. We need to be cooperative with each other. We need to be confident with each other. Okay? I think all of those things are very, very vital people in the world see us? Do they see us fighting? Or do they see us unified? You know, people in the world see us and want to cause fear. But are we confident instead? Because fear is a big, you know, it's a negative thing in your life. It can do all kinds of things to you. We need to stay away from that emotion as best we can. Instead, be confident. You know, have confidence. Consistency. You know, consistency in our lives. It's kind of a hard one sometimes, isn't it? Being consistent. Because we're all human and we fail. Right? It's hard to stay consistent and stay on track and stay on track and stay on track and not falter. That might be kind of a tough one. But with Christ and His grace, we get right back on the track and we keep moving forward again. Yeah, Barry? Right. As an example. Right.
Because right. They're
right, and they're saying I'm in Christ, and you aren't. You need to be.
And so, I think the necessary inference here too is that we need to understand that we give each other's confidence.
Yeah.
I
think so. Yeah.
Seeing things that we're doing, it gives them confidence to do the same.
Yep. No.
And it's not like.
I agree. Yeah.
Well. Waiting for someone else to do it.
Right.
It's more or less good. And through the example of Paul, we'll spread that confidence.
Right. I think that's core component of being unified. If we are truly unified, if I'm being weak, you're going to build me up in whatever area. If you're weak in something, I can build you up. We can have confidence together. You know, I can lean from your strength in something. You can lean on my strength in something. You know, we have that ability. If we're together and if we're all unified and if we're all going the same direction, the same time, all doing the same thing, following Jesus, you know, we can have that. That's one of those massive blessings of unity. Of being unified, yeah, definitely. Other thoughts, comments? He has these thoughts on unity. It's very important. It's very vital. We need to keep at it. I didn't put up there, but if you want to take note, we've got lots of scriptures that talk about these things. If you want to talk about consistency, you can go to Proverbs 25. You can go to Ephesians 4. Okay, you can go to Titus chapter 1, all through chapter 1 in Titus. And you can talk about consistency kinds of concepts. Cooperation, Paul seeking that with the brethren, with the disciples. You can look at John chapter 17. You can look at that. Philippians, where we're at. Later on in chapter 4, it's touched on again. Confidence, not letting fear take hold, Ephesians chapter 6, can really help. So there's lots of places we can turn to in God's Word that talk about these concepts also.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul also brings the same thing he's talked about. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amidst much opposition.
Yeah,
we're gonna have opposition.
It's a fact.
So he's encouraging them even in the environment they are in, like in Rome.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, we're kind of in a very odd environment, if you will. I have absolute rights that I can say anything I want, but nowadays I can't. So it's an odd environment we're in right now. But it doesn't negate that we are to be confident, we are to be unified, we are to be bold, we are to speak God's truth, we are to proclaim that, we are to live it. As you pointed out, Barry, a minute ago, we need to be doing that because it's going to be convicting people of sin. And therefore, we will have opposition and we will have problems heaped upon us. We have examples of perseverance. So hang in there. Hang in there. Yeah. Look at each other.
And they were supported in this way.
Each other.
I think there had to be a certain degree of communication that was involved amongst each other to have this consistency of
knowledge. Yeah.
Paul's part was to give them the word of Christ, make sure they're in Christ and stay in Christ. And then when they came together to talk to each other, what were they to talk about? What were they to, instead of telling each other to give them this encouragement, had to be based on Christ.
Yeah.
Had to be based on
Christ. Has to be. Right. And it's also.
Once they were.
Yeah, exactly. And it's an interesting thing, too, when you think about it. The brethren didn't have God's word collected yet.
Okay.
Right? So, yeah, the level of communication to stay unified amongst each other, I mean, they must have been talking all the time. They must have been sharing with each other all the time. You know, what does Jesus want us to do? Well, you know, we got this from Paul. This is you know, let's do that. You know, the communication must have been just huge. It's just a supposition, but you know, they didn't have God's word collected in its final form at that point in time.
I think it applied to the applied. We don't talk about the necessary inference
right
much anymore, but I think the necessary inference is applied here because
it, yeah,
have this consistent cooperation and
confidence without it,
each other without that communication.
Yeah.
Without that sharing.
Without it, yeah.
Brotherhood.
Right.
Well,
I mean, we. Yeah, I mean, because we can stay on track together because we have the collected word that we can look at. Well, okay, yeah, let's go over to Ephesians, go over here, let's go over, you know. But if I'm in Philippi, I don't necessarily have the letter to the Ephesians yet. Maybe I do, I don't know the timing, but, you know, it's interesting to think about that. Yeah, Barry?
Little insight to Acts here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you ready Sunday? All held in common.
They weren't under a rock, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Paul said, they're probably over in the temple. We'll just go pick them up. Because that's where the people were to be saved.
Right.
And it's kind of interesting to think, it wasn't like Paul had to be some detective or something. he could just. And it was because of the attitude, it was
right.
Because of the behavior and the belief, this confidence that we're talking about, or the boldness.
Right. Well, all of it.
That they had.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah, it got them arrested, it got them thrown in jail, and got them killed. But they were preaching God's word.
That's right. And that reward, then, was granted to them. And we need to do the same thing. We need to preach God's word, talk about it, live it, and we have a reward. They held all things in common. And, you know, it starts in Jerusalem and Judea. It starts there. Where are the people going to be? At the temple. They're at the temple. Right. Yep. As it spread. Yes, indeed. All over the world.
It was Saul that had to put an end to that.
So he fell. No, it did not. Yeah, no, he was acting out of his conscience at that point. Yeah. All right. That's the Acts study. That's coming up. Hang on to those thoughts. Let's talk about that one. Chapter 2, Philippians. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You're going to see in Philippians several locations where there's triplets. And here's the first one that comes into play. It's a if any triplet, if you will. So, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, okay? So we're going to see, as we go through Philippians, several of these instances where Paul uses this triplet form of writing. He just states it three times, boom, boom, boom. And each time has a different piece to it. So in this one, it's comfort of love, fellowship of the Spirit, and affection of mercy, okay? So he starts with this triplet of if any. We see here in these first four verses, again, the depth of emotion that's being expressed to the Philippians from Paul. I mean, he really had a connection with these people. And he loved these people, and they loved him. And he's just, you know, you can really see that in his writing, in this letter. You can really see the depth of emotion that he has here. You know, finally, my brethren, okay? My brethren, you know, rejoice. You know, let's all be joyous. Let's just rejoice, okay? Comfort of love. Comfort of love. Oh, that bell's going to ring. There's no way I'm going to get through all three of these. Well, be that as it may. Comfort of love. What do you think he means by that? If there's any comfort of love. What do you think he means by that? If any comfort of love. Jerry?
This version puts consolation.
Consolation?
Consolation of love.
Okay. Okay. Loving thoughts for your brethren. Okay. Talking about the saints.
Christ.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 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 Right. Right. Anna? Encouragement. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you take the pieces here. He's talking about comfort. He's talking about love. He's talking about comfort. Well, if it's comfort, it's, you know, for your brethren. It's, you know, comforting your brethren. It's helping your brethren. It's helping your brother, out of love. So, you know, proofs or expressions of their love in helping others, right? Yeah. It's comforting, isn't it? Right. If there's any comfort in love, what I'm extending to you, isn't there comfort in that? Yes. Okay. So, if there's any of that, then hold the thought. Go to the next part of the triplet. Fellowship of the Spirit. Okay. There's a big concept, right? Fellowship of the Spirit. What's he talking about there? That's a big concept. Right? Jerry?
Fellowship would be where we're doing things together.
Okay.
And so we're all striving to
right.
be faithful to God. And in this case, we each are working, we each encourage, as we each, you and I, are together.
Okay.
To see that?
Right.
We're working together.
Right.
We each have our before God is an individual. We're a family.
Mm-hmm. Collectively, yeah? Other thoughts?
Holy Spirit and God have fellowship, which the Holy Spirit delivers divine revelation.
The Spirit part.
Which the Word allows us to have fellowship.
Yeah.
God is according to the Apostles' teaching.
Yeah, yeah. John?
I want to copy what Barry bringing up. That, as Jerry said, we do it amongst each other, but it could just be what the Spirit does with us.
Yeah, yeah. And I would take it to another level, too, if you think about this. All of that, yeah, yes, exactly. But then elevate it just another to the concept of the intimacy of the relationship. Okay? The intimacy of the relationship. We're talking about if any comfort of love. That's an intimate thought. Fellowship of the Spirit, you know, that relationship, that intimate relationship we have in fellowship, right? It's not just, oh yeah, I'm in fellowship with you. Cool. No. It's a relationship. This is like, we are family. We are one. Okay? So so take the thought and then make it intimate. Right? That relationship that we have and amongst each other and with the Spirit. Okay? Amongst us believers. Right? Maybe I'm gonna squeak this in. Affection of mercy. Affection and mercy, right? If any affection and mercy, what is he talking about there? Affection and mercy.
Affection towards each other and having forgiveness and mercy towards each other.
And do you see the same theme in all three of the triplet, parts of the triplet? Yeah. The brethren, the brethren, the brethren. It's all about us together. It's all about us together. Yeah, Anna?
Compassion.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. And if we are in an intimate fellowship of believers holding the same common faith, we can do that. Yeah.
I know this is a little bit too early, but he wraps up that thought in the latter part of 3 and mm-hmm. considering one another.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's really digging deep now into this whole concept of how are you guys treating each other? How are you guys living with each other? How are you guys fellowship with each other? Okay? I love you guys. How you doing? Are you guys doing this right? You know, think about each other at all times. It's not all about you. Well, it is all about me. But, you know, you gotta have the right heart and the right attitude, and you gotta have that so that you can all be together, all be unified, which you just talked about. Have a common faith, have a common fellowship, have a common love, having compassion, having mercy, having all these pieces together, okay? Having it all together. And then he says in verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, okay? So Paul's saying, I'm striving to be this way, you need to be this way, and I'm going to be joyous over that, okay? Fulfill my joy. Right? Fulfillment is gonna require direct action. It's gonna require action. You have to act to be like-minded, to be in fellowship, to be compassionate, to be comforting, to be merciful. It takes action. So, have it, understand it, and do it. Alright, let's pick up there next week. Thanks guys.